Praise God. It's another good morning God has given us to listen to His word. And I trust that you are well. The Lord is keeping and watching over your life. You know, as we carry on with our study, we continue to benefit from this deep, deep, in-depth study of the scriptures. Because in it, we are able to have understanding. God wants you and I to have understanding of the scriptures. Because when we have understanding, then we cannot be shaken. The Bible says, by wisdom my house is built. Through knowledge all the rooms, you know, are established. And then through wisdom, every room is filled with precious things. So there is an understanding that brings establishment. That we are filled, our rooms are filled with everything that we need. And yesterday we were able to look at this aspect of the afflictions for Christ, and we're able to establish that, you know, Paul had a portion of suffering that was a portion for him. And as believers, we know that in this world, Jesus himself told us that we shall face trouble, but we need to be of good cheer because we know that he has overcome the world. So anyone that desires to live a godly life will face some form of trouble, some form of persecution, some form of suffering. But we are called not to suffer as wrongdoers. We are called indeed to do the right thing. There is a blessing in doing the right thing. And when you do the right thing, then God's grace is able to stand with us, is able to strengthen us, and is able to see us through. You can think about Daniel. Yes, Daniel was persecuted, yes. But you see, they looked for a wrongdoing on his part. They say that there's nothing that they could find, except it had to do something with his God. So they looked for an error of commission or omission, and there was nothing that they could find. And that was his protection. So there's no protection in shortcuts. In fact, shortcuts are found to end up to be very long. And so today we want to look at this aspect of that continuation, which is a mystery. And where Paul says, this is the mystery that was given to me to preach to you. And let's read Colossians chapter 1, we can start from verse 24. It says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Now, Paul is saying that as he suffers and he fills up the suffering that is left, that is a portion for him, he says, for the sake of the church, which is the body of Christ. And it says, of which I became a minister. A minister is a servant. I became a slave. I became a minister. And it says, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you. So Paul understands that the office that he was given is not because, like, oh, he's high ranking and he's the most important person, but he recognizes that the work that he was given, the office of an apostle that was given to him, was just a stewardship. Who is a steward? A steward is someone that is given responsibility over. It's someone that, yes, will have the rights, will have the authority to exercise, to do. It's like a manager. But that steward is not an owner. There is an owner of the house. And Paul is very clear that Christ is the owner of the body. For him, he's just a steward, and he was given a stewardship from God, which was given to me for you. That means he knows that grace does not sit on men for themselves, but grace sits on men for men. So there is something that God has placed on everyone such that he can administer it to others. And they said, the grace stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And what is this word of God? The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. You see, the things of God were always hidden in a mystery. And we've talked about this, the hidden wisdoms of God. That the Bible says that if the rulers of this world had they known that by crucifying Jesus, the Lord of glory, they would have been setting him free, they would have resulted in the salvation of mankind, they would not have crucified Jesus. So there are things that God has hidden in mysteries. Mysteries refers to things that are for secret. You know, there are secrets that are kept that are not open to the public. Therefore, those that have been brought into that realm of knowledge. And, you know, he's very keen to tell them that, look here, these are things that were not open to everyone. In fact, the message of salvation was not available to the Gentiles. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he kept saying that, you know, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And he limited his ministry to that. Yes, of course, there are those, the Syrophoenician woman, there are those who came in, and the centurion, they also received some of these blessings from Jesus. And he will tell them that, you know, this is not what I was sent to do. But you see, when he was leaving, there was already a prophecy that he is going to be a light to the Gentiles. You know, and he also sends his disciples to go out into all the world to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he tells them, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, Jesus is very keen that he wanted them to know something. And you see, when he tells them about the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14, he says that it is good for me to go, because when I go, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper, the Spirit of truth, who shall be in you and shall dwell with you. That means he was speaking about the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, is the Spirit of Jesus himself. And he comes to tabernacle in us. He comes to dwell in us. And we also, when we are baptized into Christ, when we are baptized in his name, we are also baptized into Christ. So we are not only in him, but he is also in us. So Christ refers to the Messiah, it refers to the King, refers to the Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus, and also the same anointing by which we walk in and we are covered in and we live in. So when we speak about the mystery of Christ, it was a mystery that was hidden from the Gentiles. Christ came for the Jews, but you see, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become sons of God. Now, he says, what is this mystery? That Christ in you, the hope of glory. How opposed to wonder, you know, when people look for God, you know, in the world, people find their gods in certain locations, in mountains, in hills, you know, in temples, in idols, in the places of, you know, of prayer that they have placed. But when Jesus says that Christ will be in you, the Holy Spirit will be in you, he's speaking that the God of the entire universe dwells in you. That means that everywhere you go, God is in you. You carry God. And at the same time, he carries you because you are in him. And this is a mystery of the union. It's a mystery that needs us to take time to comprehend and to imagine that you, God is in you. That means that when you're looking for him, he is just in you. You just need to speak to him. He will hear you. You don't even need to speak verbally. You can speak in your inner man, and God, who is right in your inner man, will hear you. Think about it when the Bible says, to him that is thirsty, I will give him to drink, and out of his belly, out of his inner man, shall flow rivers of living water. Now, compare that with where it speaks about the throne of God. From the throne of God flows the rivers that brings life to everything. So, that means that God establishes his throne in our hearts when he dwells in us. The same rivers that flow from the throne of God are the same rivers that flow from outside our belly. That is the mystery of creation. That is the mystery of God making man in his image and likeness. And that is why the angels are always marveled, wondering, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is the son of man that you visit him, that you have chosen to dwell in him? And that is why when Jesus was born, you know, the angels were so excited because they beheld God. In their own eyes, they have not seen him. But you see, Jesus says that if you have seen me, you have seen God. Why? Because he is the image. We have already read it earlier in this chapter. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were made, visible and invisible, whether things, thrones or powers or dominions or principalities, everything was made by him and for him. We know that all things exist by Christ. They were made by him and they are for his glory. So what does that make us understand? It makes us get to the point where we settle, where we think through and say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. When Paul says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. When the scripture says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, Christ not away from you. When he says Emmanuel, God with us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means Jesus Christ lives inside of you. Now, if he lives inside of you, then what does that mean? It means that you have a counselor walking with you. You have a guide. You have the power of God. When the Bible says Christ has become for us the wisdom and power from God, then you know there is an inner man living in you. Christ is in you, that when you face the enemy, they're not meeting you as a person. They're meeting Christ. When you meet the devil, the devil sees Christ in you. When you come to God, God sees Christ and he shows us his love because he has loved his son. We are hidden in Christ. My life is now hidden in Christ and Christ is in God. There is a place that God wants us to understand. It's a mindset. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is this hope of glory? The hope of glory is the hope of the resurrection. You see, right now, the glory that God has given us is hidden in flesh. In fact, Paul speaks about that we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the excellency of the power is not of us, but of God. God has desired to share his glory with us. In fact, the Bible tells us, 2 Peter 1 verse 2, that his divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him who has called us to virtue and glory. God has called us to a place of virtue and glory. Hebrews 2 speaks about that it was necessary that he makes the captain of their salvation to be made like them, because he desired to bring many sons into glory. Romans 8:30 speaks about, for those who God foreknew, he predestined, and those who predestined, he conformed, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. All this, he wanted us to be conformed to the image of his son. There is a glorification that God has given us. For now, yes, it is hidden in flesh. Think about the glory when Jesus went to the mountain of transfiguration. And as he prayed, the Bible says that the face, the countenance was changed, and the glory of the Lord shone around him, and he became white.
His clothes were glorified, and Moses and Elijah appeared, and they talked with him concerning the things that he was going to suffer. And that's why Peter says, we were with him on that holy mountain. We have beheld his glory. So there is a glory that Christ has, and that glory is what he brings us into. That's why the Bible says it was befitting God's desire to bring many sons into glory. Yes, on the outside world, you are fading away. Yes, your body is weak. Yes, you're being harassed right, left, and center. But you see, all these troubles are working for us a far much greater glory. There is a greater glory that is awakened in us. This is the hope of glory, Christ in you. When you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, then it also teaches you to be cautious about sin. You cannot just live as you would want, because he says he that is joined to a prostitute is one spirit with him, with her. So how do you take Christ and join them to a harlot? So this is a concern, that how do we forget that Christ is in us and move into sin without any caution? The Holy Spirit in us must warn us and warns us and speaks to us to follow the right path, to be guided by him, to be led by him. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be in that place of constant awareness, that consciousness that we carry God in us, that God is in us. And he is the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit in you is a constant reminder that you're going to heaven. He is the one that has regenerated you. He is the hope of glory. There is a glory that awaits us believers, that we are not just going to die and just end up in the ground. No, we sleep and await the final trumpet, when we shall be glorified. We shall enter and join in with our Father. This is the mystery that has been hidden from the ages. And Paul says, this is what God gave me for you, that I can teach you the mysteries of Christ. Because if you understand who Christ is, then you will know that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Every blessing that is of the Christ is for you, that you have been called to glory. Creation is groaning in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. There is a glory that awaits each and every one of us when we stay faithful to the path, stay faithful to his leading, stay faithful in prayer, stay faithful in obedience to his Spirit. God has called us to glory, and we will walk in glory with him. I pray that God will keep, sustain, and watch over your life. Let us say a prayer. Father, I thank you for your words. I thank you that, Lord, these are the words of life. They are spirit and life, that you are not apart from us, that indeed he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And you are in us, you are with us, and you are for us. And each and every day as we trust in you, as we depend on you, as we look unto you, we trust indeed that you are always with us, that Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith, that we know that you are with us. And Father, I pray for everyone that desires to know you, that indeed as they accept you, that you come in and dwell in them, that you take up residence in their hearts, that let them experience the manifest presence of you. Let them hear your voice. Let them know you. Let them experience the miracles, the powers. Let it be you working in them mightily, fulfilling your plans, fulfilling your purposes, fulfilling your truth. Because, Father, you are worthy, you are faithful, and there is no one else like you, God. We look unto you. You are holy, you are gracious, you are faithful. Guide us, watch over us, protect us, keep us safe from the evil one, O God. Be ahead of us, protect us in every way. We look unto you, we trust in you, and we depend on you. May your name be worshipped and be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day.